this a 37-yard field goal for the win over the Titans for the first time in more than 2 years. Hollis, the kick from the hold of Barker. There's the snap, the placement, the kick is up. It is on the way, and Mike Hollis has beaten the Titans for the win. 5 seconds to play, 59 yards out. A franchise best, a personal best. The snap, the placement, the kick up on the way. And he got it from 59 yards away for the win. Come on! Oh, yeah! 59 yards!
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Happy Thursday to you, Ryan O'Halloran. I feel like we haven't seen each other in a while. It's been a while. You had last week off, as it turned out, with the schedule didn't work out for us. So
no, I got bumped by the backup quarterback.
Here we go.
Reserve quarterback.
The reserve quarterback.
Or the retired quarterback. I believe. No, he's not retired yet. Excuse me.
No, he's not officially retired. You wouldn't either if somebody came along and offered you a chance to hold a clipboard for NFL minimum.
Yeah.
You'd run in a heartbeat.
And then I went up a day early, and I was at Redskins on Friday visiting some old people there. So that's why I wasn't here last
week. Some old people or some old friends? Or both?
Some of them were old and some were old friends. So, it was good to be up there.
All right. Let me just get this out of the way first. Usually at the end of this opening little montage, we tell you what the question of the day is.
Yep.
Question of the day is going to be a popular one today because we're giving away a pair of tickets to the game as well as a pair of passes to the Bud Light pregame party. Bud Light, the official beer of the Jacksonville Jaguars, wants you to party with them. They're going to have a party going on outside of Gate 1 this Sunday with free beer, food, prizes, interactive games, big screen TVs. And, yes, that comes with a pair of tickets to the game to go see the Jags versus the Colts. The Tom Bush Family Dealerships gives you the fan feedback spotlight every day. It's a shot in the dark for you today. I'm going to interview a player later today for the pregame show. I already know who that is. And you're the first person to correctly guess which player I'm going to interview. You only get one guess. You can tweet it or you can post it on the Facebook page. You'll win that prize pack, which includes two tickets to the game and a pair of passes to the Bud Light pregame party. All right, let's get caught up, you and I. All right, do you have a guess, by the way? Do you have any idea? Do you know?
I don't know.
Your sources have not indicated?
No. Paul Posluszny.
All right. We'll hold that guess, and we'll let you know later in the hour if Ryan O'Halloran is going to the game this weekend.
And if I guessed it right, I'll give away my ticket.
How about that? I'm going to say you didn't guess it right. I'm pretty sure about that, that all the people that guess Posluszny now on Twitter just...
Well, that eliminates... So people now, you have 52 guesses left.
Right, we've narrowed it down. We've narrowed down the roster. We've taken one...
It's probably not going to be Bortles, so that's 51.
You don't know that, although we've gotten that guess several times as well. All right, let's get caught up. The defense is the thing, probably, right? That's the most disturbing. You're talking about six rookies out there. All these guys on offense, three receivers, a couple of linemen... Sam Young getting his first look out there, basically your third team right tackle in the preseason. Mm-hmm. You can understand.
Third team center, basically.
Third team center, right. Exactly, who's elevated himself. Although he more, I think, played his way to that spot, whereas I feel like with Sam Young, it's
by
like,
default.
All right.
Young was by default.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. You're like, all right, well, we got the starter hurt. All right, we got to go to the next guy. The next guy did nothing in a positive fashion, so we'll move on to Sam Young, who... as the saying goes, you hope he can't be worse.
Yeah, and this is going to mean this is extremely temporary. Whereas, Bowenko, they hope he can solidify it. Is Pastor's probably going to be active this week, but they just want to see, maybe he needs some more practices with the club on his hand, knock off some of that rust because he hasn't played since August 14th. But I think Young would be a quick hook for Pastor
this week.
Yes.
If that's the case, why not start the guy?
I've asked that question. I didn't get a good answer.
Okay.
Because they said that it's, you also have, you factor in like conditioning. That was my question. Okay. Are you confident he would be able to
go for the full 60?
The full 60.
Sure.
If you don't think that's the case, then I wouldn't, then don't start him. If you want to sub him in a little bit, I guess is their theory. So, but
has this season already, to a degree, gone off the wheels to you? I mean, just based on the lack of competitiveness in that game, the injuries that they've suffered, you look at an offense right now. Questionable whether we'll see Cecil Shorts this week. The running game has not gotten started at all, and Mercedes Lewis is out now for the next couple of months. Is it as bad as the worst appears to be, or is there still an opportunity to turn this around here?
Before that, on the injury front, Rick Heasley not going to practice today.
Mark Heasley won't. Okay.
Hamstring, so that puts him in doubt for Sunday, yeah, judging by the other guys. But terms, I think there's about a wheel and a half off the track, because going into the season, because of the youth on offense, you figured, okay, not going to be dynamic, you know, because, you know, when then the injuries happened, you didn't expect the defense to be a sieve. They can't tackle. They can't get to the quarterback outside of the first half of the Philly game. They make mistakes in coverage. They can make key penalties. It's a train wreck on defense right now.
What's the problem? What is there a main problem you could point to? I mean, that's a lot of things going on. Is it coaching? Is it youth and inexperience? I tend to think it's not that, although there is some youth sprinkled in. There's a lot of veteran presence on that side of the football, too.
Yeah, I mean, on that side, even though you have a couple of second-year guys, it should be made up by how much of a veteran presence there is from other guys. So, I mean, Red Bryant said after the game, he made it a point to say it wasn't coaching, which I thought was an interesting comment because I didn't ask him about that. To me, that means there was chirping on the sidelines. So from their pass rush perspective, they rushed their four guys. I'd like to see them do some different things just to make the offense think, you know, instead of playing their, you know, coverages and stuff. So it's that side of the ball is a lot more concerning than the 10 sacks, because I think the 10 sacks was just like a completely perfect storm. Defensively, they have to show up. They can't miss tackles. I don't think some guys were playing hard, and that's how you miss tackles. They're just sort of running around a little bit.
At a certain point, did it reach a certain point where you felt like that? Did it start that way to you, or
no,
did it become like, oh man, this is not our day kind of thing? We're gonna pack it in early.
Gus had them for 21 tackles. I went back. I had 15. Obviously, their standard
missed tackles.
Yes. So they had no missed tackles for the first four or five possessions. So down 14-0 on that fifth possession, they had 8 missed tackles in one possession.
Wow.
They made it 21-0. To me, you could see the body language on the field at that point. Is it here we go again?
It appeared that way.
Yeah, and that's not good in week two.
It's not good any time, yeah, really. When you're a professional football player, you got 16 weeks to get up for the action. It's tough to sit here and judge motivation, mm-hmm, I think, with those guys. But it certainly something was not right. With all that. Jed Fish yesterday kind of laid out where he thought the responsibility fell. We'll get to that coming up here in a moment in terms of those sacks that were allowed, and we'll get to your thoughts on the decision. I have a feeling I know what your thoughts may be. To continue apace with Chad Henne as a starting quarterback, if you'd like to get in today, 6-4-1.
I may surprise you with the current thought.
All right.
But it's not a change in philosophy.
Well, that's a major tease for Ryan O'Halloran. Coming up, 6-4-1-10-10 if you want to get on board. You can tweet the program at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren. Again, tweet or post on the Facebook page your guess, and the first one who gets it correct today will win a pair of passes to the game, pair of tickets to the game, plus a pair of passes to the Bud Light pregame party. Just tell me who I'm going to interview for the pregame show, which player on the Jaguars I'll interview for the pregame show. We've got that lined up for after the show today, and we'll give away those tickets hopefully later on in this broadcast. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios here. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, everything you need to know about your Jacksonville Jaguars. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I'm Paul Pazluzny, and you're listening to the best Jaguars coverage in Jacksonville on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, what do we got here? The All-American Rejects, Dirty Little Secret. I got a secret. You don't know who I'm going to interview for the pregame show. Is that it?
Exactly, that's it.
It's like, that has to be the first time
it's
you
got
it right.
It's been the simplest week of themes, so by the way.
Lauren's still feeling depressed about the game.
Yeah, the other one was crazy.
This
crazy,
team is making crazy, me crazy.
And
yep,
they're driving mm-hmm her crazy. I mean, it was just all very literal this week. So.
Yes, I'm in a literal mood this week.
there you have it. The All-American Rejects' dirty little secret. For now, it's a secret. Which player will I interview for the pregame show, tweet or post on the Facebook page? No, you may not call. And people are saying, well, I don't have Twitter. Well, you could if you had a computer.
It takes you 2 seconds to sign up on Twitter and then put your vote in.
What happens to someone who doesn't have a radio? They're not eligible to win because they don't know what's going on right now.
It's not fair either.
It's not very fair to them. So we have contests sometimes with callers. Sometimes we have them with the social media peeps. Sometimes they're one and the same. That's just the way it goes. Two tickets plus two passes to the Bud Light pregame party on the line today if you are a correct guesser, first correct guesser. All right, Ryan O'Halloran. Yesterday, Jed Fish talked about the sack distribution. We've had this debate all week. Pro Football Focus came up with a list of responsible people.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks for checking in, guys.
Okay. he's back, Tony. He's back. Mr. Cynical. Logman did not agree with most of what they did on early in the week. He assigned blame to others along the way. The big question, I think, is how much could Chad Henne have avoided some of these sacks? Could he have avoided some of these sacks? Jeff felt that maybe 3 to 4 sacks he put on Chad Henne for his role in it. Jed Fish yesterday said 6 went on the offensive line, didn't break down which guys were responsible for which. 2 went on the receivers, in other words, probably running the wrong routes or not in the right spot, right?
Yeah, like either running the wrong route or not reading the defense, not cutting off the route.
Not right, not making the correct read, whatever the case may be, and which forced Henne to hold the ball a little bit longer. 1 went to a running back who missed a pickup, and then the rollout he put on Henne, who he said, you know, needs to throw that ball at somebody's feet. If nothing else, just get rid of it.
Yeah, my breakdown was in order: Tuafo, McClendon, Henne on the boot where he should have thrown it away, Jokel / Beatles, Linder on Bradfield, Linder, Beatles, Linder.
That's pretty close to Pro Football Focus, by the way.
It is.
You just scoffed at.
Linder gave him 3.
They gave him 3 to
well,
Linder.
On a couple of these, there's some other guys that went, you know, like on one of these sacks, you had Henne doing a pump fake. Well, maybe that's what Jeff's referring to. Should he have just not done the pump fake? You
know, right.
Did he hold it on too long? Because I had it at 3.01 seconds. So on that play, Bradfield, Jokel, and Gerhardt all got beat. So how you divide that one up? So I appreciate Jed's math. It would have been great if he would have went one by one by one, but
right. But I don't think he's going to do that, and I don't think he wants to relive all 10 sacks.
I thought he would have skewed it a little bit and put more on the receivers since everybody was piling on them this week.
Well, look, if anybody would know who's responsible, it would be the guy who's calling the plays. He knows what everybody's assignments are. I'm not trying to absolve Chad Henne any blame here. He's certainly a limited ceiling, and we understand that. You said your opinion may surprise people on the quarterback situation. Do you think it's just at, I know you're a play the kid guy, okay? Get him in there. But are you now at the point where, because everything is so makeshift on offense, that you understand holding him back at least for the time being?
I get their understanding now, because before it was always, we have to wait until he's ready. Well, I don't care about that. Now the consensus in the building is, okay, he may be ready, but nobody else in front of him is. Let's get Boanko some snaps first. Let's get Linder another game. Let's get Shorts back. Let's get Pastor back. That I can understand, you know, because when you're in the huddle on Sunday and the receivers are asking Henne, you know, where do I go? Maybe Chad's a little more advanced in that respect. That said, if at halftime on Sunday it's not going well, I think you're going to see Blake Bortles.
At halftime, you think it could be this week. So you think that Chad Henne's rope right now is that short, basically.
Yeah, and Chad admitted that yesterday. He said, hey, you know, me and Gus talked. I understand the situation. You win, you stay in. If you're not moving the ball like you're supposed to, you're going to get removed.
Does that set up a situation where automatically that would mean to you Blake Bortles starts next week?
Absolutely. That is 100% true.
Once he takes the field, you think it's over with at that point.
I would go as far as to say, let's say it's either against Indianapolis or at San Diego, he goes in as a sub. I would expect Gus to say right after that game, we're moving forward with Blake Bortles.
Now, do you think that's a reason why they didn't consider playing him against Washington? Because they knew they weren't prepared to play him this early?
I think so. And also, You know, and I don't buy any of this stuff. Well, he would have got killed out there. Well, he's 6'5", 240. If Chad Henne was getting up, Blake Bortles would have gotten up. I think it's
right,
just like this.
Well, he got up, but if you're going to use one guy as the human punching bag, let's be honest, it's going to be the journeyman that you're not counting on for the rest of your future.
But I think they kept Henne in because I think they knew they were going to start him against Indianapolis. I think that was sort of the reason, because you don't want to put the kid in as mop up and then say you're going, you know, then you're not starting.
How tenuous is this in your mind? I mean, is it a case of if he's, let's say he's, I'm just making up numbers here, 7 out of 12 for 110 yards in the first half but doesn't put any points on the board? Does it have to be a couple of intercepts? How bad does it have to be, do you think, to prompt this change? Will it depend? Obviously, if it's 7 to nothing, Indy at the half, I don't see them making a change, even if the offense hasn't moved it. Or do you?
I think that would be the more likely scenario.
Because you could pull out a victory.
Yeah, if this team comes out and throws another clunker out there and they're down 24-3 at the half and giving up 5 sacks, I think they're just going to ride it out then again. Yeah.
So you don't you don't think that will prompt him? It's got to be the circumstance of the game has to be a winnable situation.
Yeah, you know, I'm shifting back and forth on that. But I think let's say they're down 14-3 at the half.
Okay.
And they're going 4-3 and outs and a failed red zone. I think that would be the scenario where I say, hey, we're going to put them in, and it's not just to put them in. We're going to see if we can get a spark and win the game.
What if he goes in and doesn't play well?
I think you just move on and you start him next week.
Do you at least have the latitude of saying, hey, we wanted to get him some experience, get him some reps, and I mean, there's nothing that locks them into having to do that, right? I mean, if they want to say, if Blake goes in, maybe he gets his feet wet, maybe it's not perfect, maybe it's not what you're looking to see, I could still see Henne starting against San Diego. You don't think that's the case?
That would be the only scenario on that would be if Henne had to come out of the game because of injury.
Okay.
If they put in Bortles, it's with an eye on right now, but it's also an eye on, okay, he's our guy moving forward.
All right. To me, I think my guess, and all that's all it is a guess, is that it's more likely week 5. You know, if presuming they don't win the next couple weeks.
I would agree with that. Let's say Chad Henne plays the entire game this week and is somewhat functional, and they either lose 24-20 or
whatever,
friggin' win.
Right.
He's earned the next start. And then from his perspective, is if he does it again, then he'll hold on for another week.
Right.
So
you think that at that point it'll become a week-by-week thing?
I think it's a week-by-week thing now.
Is it?
Yeah. Because, you know, minimum, I would say I would be surprised, yeah, to think it over now. I mean, if they pull him at halftime, they're definitely starting Blake Bortles against San Diego. If Henne plays well, the defense plays well, that keeps him in the game, then he gets another start. Then if you're Gus, you're thinking, okay, San Diego's a tough defense. Do you hold that one? You know, do you give Henne a home start then? So I think you just sort of, how long can they hang on?
If I put a dollar on the table and say Ryan O'Hallen, a correct answer wins you this dollar, there's no risk to you. Does Blake Bortles play this week for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I'm going to say no.
No, okay.
Because I think the Colts aren't good enough to really embarrass these guys in the first half.
Certainly their pass rush has been as ineffective as the Jags' pass rush block,
yeah,
right, or pass protection.
Yeah.
1 sack in 2 games for the Colts up to this point. Mm-hmm. And they played, obviously it's tough to sack Peyton Manning, but they played a couple of pass-happy teams and have only been able to get to the quarterback one time in the first couple weeks. What did you make of the Jason Cole report for Yahoo that the locker room is such, it's not a one thing. There's factions, there, you know, differences of opinion. I'm not talking about the Jags, I'm talking about any locker room typically. But he said that, I'm paraphrasing here, that the players are ready. They want Bortles.
I found it interesting because if you're somebody on defense squawking after that game, you know, you should shut up. But it doesn't seem, I'm not going to refute the report. I mean, because he put it out there. On offense, there are so many young guys. It doesn't seem like any of those guys would be comfortable saying that.
Right.
That was my deal. It's such a young team. But because I talked to guys on Monday about, hey, you know, what do you think's going on here? And I think I talked to six guys, and let's put it this way. They said so little about her that I didn't even include it. And they basically said, hey, you know.
Did they say so little about it because they're smart enough to realize what a hot-button topic it is, and they're smart enough not to
I mean, these are guys who have helped me out before.
Okay.
Pointed me in the right direction on some things, refuted some stuff. You know, this is what I think about this. No, you're totally wrong on that.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I just got a shake of the head saying, hey, you know, Chad had a tough go of it the other day. Yeah, so it's almost like they would have that would have been reeking of a scapegoat. So, I mean, it would have been. I tried talking to some guys about it, but I wasn't getting anywhere.
Is the loyalty that they're showing, Gus Bradley has shown Chad Henne to this point, and Dave Caldwell as well, is that ultimately a positive for some of these players to see that they know that Henne was in a difficult situation? They know he's who he is. He's not a perfect quarterback by far, but he's in a, you know, I don't know if you throw Peyton Manning in there if the Jags win against the Redskins this past week. They probably do a lot better, but you get my point. I mean, is that going to play well ultimately?
I doubt it, because if I'm a veteran, like on defense, I'm worried about, you know, I mean, as much as you want to say it's a team, it really is two separate houses. And, you know, I had one player tell me, hey, you know, that's not my backyard, being in the quarterback spot.
Right.
So, like, on defense, they got to worry about their own backyard offense. So, in terms of the loyalty thing, I think players want to be on the field with guys who give them the best chance to win.
Regardless. All right. So, Ryan O'Halloran will not put it at 50% or over that you'll see Blake Bortles, but I think he thinks there's a significant chance that you may see Blake Bortles this weekend for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, I mean, and this is where you want to be in the meetings. You want to quantify, okay, what kind of mistake will force them to move away from Henne? Is it an interception? Well, on one of those interceptions, I don't think Marquise Lee ran the right route. Okay, you got it. Okay, we're going to be assessing blame differently than they're going to be assessing blame.
Because
let's say he throws three picks in the first half. Gus, what were you thinking? Not benching him. Well, then it's up to Gus to say, well, you know, the protection broke down in this one. The guy ran the wrong rug in this one. And then it was a tip pass. Okay, then he's still in there. How about if he goes 7-10, like you said, has a couple bad red zones, and then they bench him? So, this is so subjective.
You know, and we were looking yesterday. We brought it up a few times. Tony was reviewing the play that Mercedes Lewis scored the touchdown on, and Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson ran a couple of patterns that almost ran into each other.
Yeah.
You know, clearly somebody was on the wrong page on that play. It worked out in that circumstance.
It was great when they turned around and saw Mercedes caught the ball. They're literally holding hands.
Practically, yeah. And by the way, any coincidence here? Mercedes and Cam Bradfield are the ones who came out after the game and continue to publicly endorse Henne as a starter. Cam Bradfield's no longer with us, and Mercedes Lewis, we'll see you in a couple months.
Yeah, I mean, like the last, you know, I don't think Cam Bradfield would have been a good sounding board at that point.
Right. I don't know if Henne wanted that endorsement necessarily from Cam Bradfield at that point in time. Hey, why don't you block like you want me in here, please? Well, with that, folks, the Jags are asking you to come out and protect the bank this week. Maybe you'll see, not the starting debut, but maybe you'll see the NFL debut for Blake Bortles as the Jags take on their division rival, the Indianapolis Colts, at 1 o'clock on Sunday. World's largest video boards, NFL's best game day experience. Tickets available at jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. We'll come back. We'll take you inside the locker room from yesterday. Again, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight. Tweet us or post on the Facebook page which player you think I'm going to interview for the pregame show. First correct response, win a pair of tickets to the game and a pair of tickets to the Bud Light pregame party outside Gate 1 as well. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony, Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Secrets by Van Halen, Tony. I've got one. You know what Hacker's favorite Van Halen album is?
Greatest Hits.
You know it. You know it. You know it. He knows it, too. They got a lot of good songs on that one, from what I understand.
I bet they do.
Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union here with you, Jaguars, today. Good morning. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board today. If you got any questions for Ryan O'Halloran, covering the Jags from inside the locker room. Gus Bradley yesterday among others, talking to the media and talked about his decision to stick with Chad Henne as opposed to starting Blake Bortles.
We really haven't talked about that. We just put all our focus on with Chad. He's the starter, and you know, we just feel good about what he's done. But I think just the whole picture of it, what he does, you know, he brings stability with a younger group, and you know, and I think that given time that he can make some plays.
Is the next clip, Gus says the earth is flat and the Jacksonville media believes him?
How have they not discussed it?
That's a ridiculous comment.
It seems like it.
I mean,
why make that comment, though?
I have no idea. I mean, because he knows that people in this market are going to believe it. It didn't appear in our paper. That's for damn sure. I mean, you can say that you didn't discuss him starting, but you've definitely discussed him playing. You've had to talk about. If you talked about all the personnel on the offense that went wrong, the quarterback had to come up.
So, okay.
I don't know why he said it. I mean, you could spin it, say, well, was it about Blake Bortles starting this week? Well, they should have had that conversation. If they didn't, they should have.
Well, that's the thing. Does it make it look worse to not have the conversation than
it does?
You talked about it, right? I think in the eyes of a lot of the fans, it does.
Especially when you make these other changes.
But let's say, for the sake of argument, let's say you're watching the film and you agree with Jed Fish and that 9 of the 10 sacks are attributable to breakdowns around Chad Henne, and you feel like, despite the fact that you're not putting up points, like you said, you've got guys in the huddle coming up to you asking, where do I go? Where do I line up? What am I doing on this play? That they feel like, you know what? There's a lot going wrong around him. No, he's not playing at a Pro Bowl level, but we almost need him in there to keep the thing together at the moment, and maybe. Whereas they evaluate all the players, maybe they didn't have that serious conversation because they knew they were not going to make the switch this week. I don't know. I'm just trying to think.
What you said is completely fine as long as that conversation started with somebody in that room saying, should we consider a change of quarterback? To me, if they follow up by saying that, that means you at least discussed it.
Right.
You're dotting your I's and crossing your T's.
Right.
Because the impression you're giving is, the impression that he gives is you're ignoring it.
Yeah, I can get why you could take that from it, certainly. I think it's a little bit of semantics here.
Well, especially after on Monday when we gave him several chances to name Chad the starter and the door was left open.
Right.
So.
And he said right after the game as well, Jeff Loggeman asked him, what about lineup changes? And he didn't specify. And he said, you know, we'll look at all of them this week. But maybe they truly didn't feel like that was one that they were going to consider for this week. I mean, I guess you could argue someone comes in and says, hey, should we switch quarterbacks? And you say no. And you say, we didn't really discuss it. Did you or did you not discuss it? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Or did you all get in the room and either Gus or Dave were like, look, we're not going to discuss switching the quarterback position, and that was the end of that discussion. Like, if one of those two guys just shut it down before it even got to that point in the room, look,
that's disappointing.
Right, we don't know. You know, we don't know, but it did sound on Monday like at least the door was still open.
Right.
We haven't talked about any personnel stuff yet. We're going to go back after everybody's had a chance to watch this and discuss these positions. You know, everything is up in the air is the way it sounded on Monday. It's a little disappointing if they didn't at least have the talk.
Well, they talked. Gus talked at 1 o'clock on Monday, and by 1 o'clock on Tuesday, they'd cut a player. So I'm thinking they'd had some personnel talks at some point Monday. It was weird.
Hey, Lauren, let's jump ahead to cut 3 here from Gus Bradley, and he's talking about Henny's mindset. What kind of state is that in after taking 10 sacks this week?
If you look back at the previous game, there was a lot of pressure, obviously. You know, I don't know how many he could have avoided. Chad would say maybe there was a couple that he could have done something. So in my conversation with him, that's been his mentality, is, hey, you know what, Gus, I can play better.
Well, I guess it beats the alternative if he would have said, Gus, I'm playing as well as I can.
This is my people. Right now.
I can't give you any more, Coach.
Yeah. I've done everything I can.
You wouldn't want to hear that conversation. Gus was also asked about Cecil Shorts and Mr. Robinson getting back out there and practicing.
The good news is Cecil did pretty good today. And, Allen Robinson had a hamstring pull, and he's doing pretty well and actually had a good practice. So, we'll do it. We'll get it done. We've had some guys that, will step in and that have played a lot of plays.
The Allen Robinson thing he threw in there was interesting because
where that
he's
come
not
from?
On the injury report.
Right.
I mean, he played the whole game the other day, so I think he missed. I think he was trying to use it as a comparison to when Robinson came back
had
a couple weeks ago.
Had the hamstring, right.
He was able to play a little bit the first game, made it through, played a lot. So I think what he's getting at is if Shorts does play on Sunday, it won't be a near full-time role.
Right. And if you missed it earlier, Ryan said Marquise Lee will not practice today. So that brings into doubt certainly his availability for the game this weekend. Allen Robinson was, I'll say, one of the few bright spots, I thought. It's hard to find many when you're losing 41-10. But, you know, considering this is the first time he got, you know, any kind of decent targets in an NFL game, I thought he did okay.
Yeah, I mean, no drops or in, you know, can't say the same thing about Mike Brown.
Doesn't mean he ran every route correctly. Yeah. We don't know that and all that stuff. But just the productivity they had, you're looking through, there are very few bright spots in that football game this weekend.
Anger.
Always. Always. Yours or Brian Anger?
Which one? No, the weapon.
Okay, the weapon. All right. Chad Henne also talked yesterday, talked about what is the mindset of this football team going into the home opener against Indy.
I mean, my mindset is that we need to find a way to get better and put more points on the board. And, you know, I said in our press conference last week is, you know, as an individual, you need to look at yourself in the mirror and how you can prove it as an individual, and then it'll carry over to the unit and then eventually as a team. So, you know, each one of us has to get better.
To me, that was Chad Henne telling his offense, you got to be better. I got to be better, but you guys start getting yourself in the right spots too.
Right.
So
you look at that game and you come out of it, and the only thing guys can say is everyone needs to look in the mirror. Everybody needs to get better. But the problem is literally everyone needs to get better. Just about. I mean, there may be one or two guys they graded out pretty well when they watched the film, but that's what makes it so daunting to me. Was it just a case
system wide?
Right. Yeah. Did it just snowball out of control after they got down and they were stunned? You know, by the backup quarterback coming in, the throwing to backup tight ends and backup wide receivers and just slicing them up and down the field. And did it kind of get out of hand at that point in time? Or is it as bad as it appeared to be?
It was as bad as it appeared to be.
It was on Sunday, but are they as bad as they appear to be? I guess
probably not. Probably not. I mean, you know, if they making Austin Pastor sound like Walter Jones.
He's going to come back. He is right now. His agent should hold him out.
He's going to the Ring of Honor.
No question. If he comes in and does anything, if they can average 2.5 yards a carry running to his side.
Toby Gerhardt got the 50 yards. Put him in the
It's new contract time.
Well, with the club, he couldn't have been any worse than Cam Bradfield was on Sunday. I will say that was
I wouldn't think
pretty atrocious. Chad Henne also talked about what he personally has to clean up going forward.
You know, whether I need to get the ball out, you know, a little bit quicker, or you know, make faster decisions, be a little bit more accurate. You know, there's still things out there. Identifying some of the defenses where you know I can maybe change the protection, help our offensive line out. But you know, there's numerous things out there that I feel I can get better in, and I'll continue to do that.
All right. Also, Chad Henne talked about talking with Gus and what those conversations have been like since that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just stressing confidence in me, and you know, we both understand the situation. You know, it's a young team. There's going to be some growing pains at the same time, but you know, for me, it's just continually to play at a high level and try not to make mistakes out there and do all I can. You know, if play's open and I know we're capable of making the play, make the play, and I put that on myself more than anybody else. So. You know, I'm just going to keep playing the way I'm playing, and you know, if I need to correct something, I'll correct it, and you know, just try to play at a high level.
Chad also asked if he feels like he's played well enough to remain the starting quarterback for this team.
I think at times I'm doing as much as I can. I'm not saying I'm playing overly great out there. I would say I'm playing better than I have in the past and doing some really good things and audibling and getting the right plays and making plays out there. But there's always room for improvement, as I always say. And you know, I put more pressure on myself than anybody else. The biggest thing is we need to win, and I understand that. And it's not a must. It's just we just need to get better each and every week.
Finally, Chad Henne talking about just the sense of urgency for this team. 0-2, they went through the 0-8. To start last season, you didn't think it was going to go down that road again. What is the sense of urgency just to pick up a victory?
Yeah, I mean, I understand this, and I told everybody before I came here, the win's the most important. If you start winning, you know, you stay in. If, you know, you keep losing and, you know, the offense isn't going where it's supposed to be going, I understand there's going to be a switch being made, and I'm full aware of that, and, you know, my job is just to get everybody on the same page and try to exploit this offense and, you know, make some plays out there and score some points.
Well, I credit Chad on that one. At least he's acknowledging reality. I mean, I'm sure some guys I've covered, Donovan McNabb, would have said, well, I'm only worried about this week. I'm going to, you know, try and help this team win. I don't pay attention to the outside noise. When there's a third overall pick behind you instead of, you know, instead of a journeyman, it's going to push up that timetable.
He's known. And
He's known since the day after the regular season ended last year when he told me, I'm interested in re-signing here, but I know they're going to draft a quarterback.
Sure.
Maybe in the first round. So it's just a matter of which name it was.
But they also gave him the opportunity to come in as the starter. And I can't think of a circumstance like this where you could have given him more opportunity. You know what I mean? I mean, I think they've given him every opportunity. If he comes out and he lights it up the first couple of weeks, we're not having this conversation right now.
I mean, ultimately, when they do make the change, Chad's going to look back at the first week of the season and say, 17-0 at halftime,
right,
on the road. I couldn't convert any third downs. If they would have won that game, it would have bought them an extra couple games.
Absolutely.
I mean, at least week five.
If they're 1-1 now, even if they got blown out, it is a huge difference, especially with the Colts coming in 0-2. You got a chance to put two games between you and the division right now.
Yeah. So that's ultimately like where he's going to look back on is – because, you know, like you said, if he would have won a couple games, it would have extended his stay. But it's going to come to an end quick.
All right. Well, we'll also hear a little bit from Jed Fish and Jonathan Ciprian. Coming up, we've got this date in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL, all that straight ahead. Phone lines open for you at 641-1010 if you'd like to get in. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
You know what happened on this date in football history?
Tell me.
Brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive Cosmetic Dentistry. Well, I will tell you, Tony.
Not a
damn thing happened on this date in football history. Yesterday, it was like four different franchises played their first game in franchise history.
Yeah.
Spread out over four different years. And it just, you know, the calendar doesn't always fall. Sunday doesn't always fall on September 17th. Apparently, it did a lot in the past.
Yeah.
September 18th, not a great day. I don't even know, you know, maybe the biggest name who was born on this date, Richard Huntley. Remember him? The running back for the Steelers, Falcon.
Nope.
No? Like 10 years ago?
Can't help you with Huntley.
All right. There's nothing. Nothing happened on this date in football history. Although, would it surprise anyone if another NFL player got put on the commissioner's exempt list on this actual day in NFL history? Will we look back?
We'll see.
It's a growing list. Jonathan Dwyer yesterday for an alleged domestic assault that occurred in July is the latest to be deactivated around the National Football League.
He may just be cut.
He may be. He's not that good.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's so funny how that works, you know.
Double standard. What do you mean?
You think? Look, that's light, though,
yeah,
right? I mean, if you're in a Fortune 500 company and the guy makes you millions of dollars a year, he's going to get more leeway than the guy working in the mailroom. That's just the facts of life, whether they're fair or not.
Well, it's like the old Bill Parcells line. Of course I treat everybody differently.
Yeah, he's right. I mean, LT is a great player. He gets away with a lot, and that's just the way he ran it.
So, I mean, we're pretty much to the end of the line on the exempt list, right? I mean, there's nobody else there. Is there anybody else there, player out there who, because Rice is suspended.
Ray McDonald.
Okay, that's the only other guy.
He's the one that's hanging out there right now. And any ones we don't know about. Glory Allred called a press conference yesterday. Did you see that?
That's always trouble.
She announced a press conference coming up to detail other allegations against a player that were, you know, disturbing allegations. Turned out to be a couple of years old stuff about Brandon Marshall that we had already known about, but.
From him!
Right. And he seems to be an example of a guy who, if you believe in second chances, has turned his life around. He publicly embraced the fact that he had issues to deal with mental health. Was, you know, open and honest about that stuff and seems to have reconciled with his wife. Not saying what he did may have done to her, I don't know all the details, was, you know, a good thing, certainly, but people can change and people can overcome, you hope, in society. Otherwise, we're in big trouble. Mm-hmm. The one charge she did make was that Marshall's, I think it was maybe his fiance at the time, her friend, female friend, got in touch with Goodell or sent a letter or something of the ilk to detail what she had personally claimed she had seen Marshall do, said she never heard back from the league at all. Now, he ended up, I think, getting suspended for 3 games, having it reduced to a 1-game suspension.
Yep.
So maybe they claim they took that into account, but they never bothered to speak to her.
Nope.
You know.
That's fine.
Well, is that fine?
That's fine. Hey, they read the letter, right?
What else do you want them to do?
I think act
was Roger supposed to
act on
call
information
him,
they're
call,
given?
Call
please.
Him and
right.
say, thanks for sending the letter.
Have one of his investigators, maybe, I don't know, check out the details of the story.
If you ask him about it, he'll probably say he never saw
don't
it.
Don't you get the feeling now there's going to be a whole new department opens up in the NFL just for, I mean, to they have to take these things seriously the moment they pop up now.
Well, yeah. And I think the bigger problem is I've had some dealings with NFL security when Sean Taylor was killed. And where the breakdown there was, is he was in D.C., his house got broken into Florida. He didn't contact anybody with Redskins security or NFL security. And my question to those guys at the time was, how do you not know this happens to one of your players? Where you could get extra, you could get bodies on the ground down there and said he felt he had to do his own vigilante justice. Got killed. So I've always been wary of NFL security and NFL investigators, and this was probably another, you know.
So give me that, because I'm a little confused. How did this go now with Sean Taylor?
He was in Washington and injured. So his house was burglarized. Did I say that right? Broken into down in Miami. So Taylor, who was injured, left the team without them knowing about it when they were on the road, went down there saying, if these guys come back, I'm going to be ready for them.
Okay.
They came back. Instead, what he should have done is called, let the team know, that, and the team would have said, I'm flying your wife and your kid up here. We'll have round-the-clock surveillance on the house, because what they did was they were casing the joint to get the safe.
Okay, so they're waiting for like someone to come back so they could force them to give them the combination. I was going to say, if they burglarize the place, why did they return immediately?
Well, it was at a party. And there was the
initial time.
Yeah, the break, and then the break in. Then they said, and from what I understand, the break in, they're at a party at the house, and they said, oh, look at this. Okay, we got to come back here. They came back. They didn't realize the safe was that big. So they brought some more guys back. And then when they came back the second time or the third time, Taylor was waiting for him.
Gotcha.
And he couldn't carry a gun because he was on probation.
Yeah, didn't he have a machete?
He brought a machete to a gunfight.
Yeah, that's we learned about that in The Untouchables. Not a good way to do
nope.
that.
But my roundabout point is you know, these security departments, these investigators aren't in touch with the players, because not only the players trust them. You know, and that means nobody. You know.
Do they not trust it because they think they're kind of stooges for the team and that they're going to get kind of reported?
I think that's a big part of it. Is like, well, if I told you, you would have had me fined for leaving the team.
Is that the same reason why guys, anecdotally at least, don't use the car services that are available to them, because they don't want to get a rep as being a party guy?
Like, they, you know, it's just like subconsciously they know it, they think it's going to get back to
right. This guy works for the team or what? Yeah. Even if he works for the, it's somehow going to put me in a bad situation.
The PA sponsors the car,
which is no excuse, because just hire a cab. I mean, you don't have to go through that. You have enough money.
These are major metropolitan areas.
This State in Football History brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, featuring the Stop Snoring Mouth Guard. Check it out. You'll thank me. Your loved ones will thank me. You'll certainly thank Dr. McCall. Call him at 620-9225. Whether you need just a family dentist or some cosmetic work done, check them out. They're located on Gate Parkway. JamesJMcCall.com is a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, we mentioned it, but the Arizona Cardinals have suspended running back Jonathan Dwyer after he was arrested yesterday on charges of aggravated assault stemming from incidents that occurred on July 21st and 22nd earlier this year at his home, involving Dwyer, a 27-year-old woman, and an 18-month-old child. Dwyer was arrested yesterday. The team took this action quickly. Dwyer has since been freed on a $25,000 cash bond. He reportedly admitted to having had arguments with the woman that led to the police being called on the night of the 21st, but denied ever having physically assaulted the woman or the child. The woman reportedly had a broken bone, and Dwyer is accused of throwing a shoe at the one-year-old child. Carolina Panthers defensive end Greg Hardy has now joined Vikings running back Adrian Peterson on the commissioner's exempt list, meaning that Hardy can be around the team's facility but cannot play until he is removed from that list. He will still be paid the weekly installments of his $13.1 million salary. Hardy has been found guilty in court but has appealed that decision, has a court date set for November at this point. In case you missed it on Twitter today, Tom Brady, on a Throwback Thursday, has posted his resume from right before he was drafted by the New England Patriots. He included it saying, you know, Throwback Thursday, that he thought he may need it after that fifth round ended in the year 2000, so he kept it handy. And tonight, week three of the NFL season gets underway with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the Atlanta Falcons. Bucks still looking for that first win of the year. The Falcons come in at 1-1. They're trying to get to 2-0 at home, 2-0 in the NFC South as well.
Got to think the Falcons will win that game. At least I do tonight. Was this Brady's non-football resume?
Yeah, this is like the places he worked, like a golf course,
Merrill Lynch.
Yeah, I got you.
That kind of thing.
All right, I can just Tony, you and Brady have so much in common.
Yes, we do.
Right, your golf course aficionados.
Waiting on my Giselle.
Working out there. All right. You know what gets me a little bit in this situation? I'm watching SportsCenter this morning. I see Herm Edwards, and I think he was talking about Dwyer. He may have been talking about Greg Hardy. It doesn't really matter at this point.
It's noise.
And he goes, you know, this never happened in my locker room because, you know, I deal with this right away. Was there a rash? Excuse me, Herm. Was there a rash of players that were being deactivated around the league? Because it's not like domestic violence is a new circumstance in society, never mind the NFL. These guys puffing themselves up saying, this would never last in my locker room.
To me, by him saying that, basically that tells me he definitely wants to coach again. He's like,
right. Hey, I'm a guy.
I will never stand for this owner.
That's a good point, right? Bring me in. But Schlereth is the same thing. I mean, you know, this would never happen. I guarantee you, if you go back and look at his time in the National Football League over the decade or so that he played, there's some pretty unsavory guys in any NFL locker room, typically, or, you know, in any cross-section of society you're going to find.
I mean,
that.
I'm pretty sure when Mark Schlereth came to the league, one of his teammates was Dexter Manley.
There you go.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, Schlereth is a soapbox guy.
He's been on it all week.
He's just going to pick the side where he thinks he's more popular. And then this is a moron who in Denver organized media boycotts.
Is he the one who did that with the O-line?
Yeah, he was one of those spearheaded. So he's an idiot.
Did those guys get fined at the time?
I don't think they did because there wasn't rules in place for that. Now there is.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Yeah, you saw Richard Sherman come out yesterday and say, I did not refuse to speak to the media. Sure. Nobody nobody wanted to talk to me. And he said, I cooled down, I got dressed, nobody was saying, hey, Sherm. So I left the locker room, signed an autograph, and then someone came up to me and said, hey, can I talk to you? And I said, at that point, are you crazy? And, well, all right. I mean,
wanted to talk to you.
Right. It does sound like someone wanted to talk to you. It's funny how, you know, I don't know if he got roasted, but they certainly weren't afraid of him.
Well, they threw at him a little bit in the game. Look, if you go to USA Today, by the way, they have basically a database of NFL arrests that go back to 2000. And they categorize them as well. So you can go back. Since 2000, there have been 87 arrests in the league for some kind of domestic abuse. Now, I don't know the exact number of how many of those they were acquitted on or the charges got dropped. I know I was looking at it for my show on Monday. 87 arrests, 27 of those players wound up in a program just like Ray Rice. One of those diversionary programs, instead of doing any jail time, paying any kind of fines, any of that kind of stuff, just go to counseling. Basically, for what they were doing, no one ever got suspended for domestic violence for more than 3 games. And that was Brandon Marshall, and his got reduced to 1.
Right.
So for people who are talking about, look, it is pretty clear the league's track record on domestic violence is they haven't done anything equitable as far as punishing these players for that compared to what they're doing with their drug programs, with their performance enhancement programs. I mean, they've largely ignored it. So the idea of someone sending a letter to the league office saying, this is what I saw Brandon Marshall do, and the league saying, well, we'll give him 3 games, and it gets reduced to 1, that's how it's been. That's exactly how they've treated this.
I'm still looking forward to the game tonight.
just be done with all this nonsense. It's not going away. I mean,
no.
Pro Football Talk just wrote an opinion piece that said they think Adrian Peterson has played his last game in a Viking uniform. I mean,
that's not too big of a limb.
Maybe not, but they have this week, I mean, before deactivating again, they said we look forward to bringing him back to be a member of the Minnesota Vikings. It's not as – certainly Ray Rice has been cut. It's clear that he's gone, but – how radioactive will Adrian Peterson be? Let's say he gets convicted on some count of something along the way. Is he a guy you can bring into your organization? What kind of organization would he be able to go to? Would it take a guy like Belichick, who has got, you know, all the job security he'll ever want? Will it take some kind of situation like that, or do you think he'll have a lot of suitors?
I think he'll have a lot of suitors.
You do?
Yeah.
As opposed to Ray Rice, because of the talent level, because of the crime?
Talent level. Yeah. And the Ray Rice thing is, you know, with Adrian Peterson, you got the pictures, you know, so it's you know.
Not as graphic, not having the video.
I mean, like, I always thought when I saw that, you know, I've been on since the video came out, is when I saw the Ray Rice second video, is I thought dragging her out of the elevator looked worse.
I thought the part right before, like his reaction to her getting knocked out,
callous,
was the worst part. Just he looked, he kind of kicked her with his foot, you know. Are you faking? Wake up. And then he dragged her to the corner of the elevator because for the first time the doors open, I think he thought someone was walking in, and he was making room for them. And then he just kind of just dragged her out. We had seen the aftermath of that anyway. I thought his reaction to it was the worst part.
Well, I mean, if a team's interested in Ray Rice, what they're going to get is if they sign him, they're going to get the protesters and the picketers.
You don't think you'll get that with Adrian Peterson? Maybe not to the same degree.
Probably not to the same degree, because the kids aren't going to organize themselves.
Well, true, obviously, but, you know, there'll be advocacy groups out there. I think there's more of a split on his case, because you hear a lot of people saying, hey, you know what? Corporal punishment. I grew up in a house and I got hit with a belt and there was nothing wrong with it. Nobody's going to say I grew up in a house where my mom was getting beat up and there was nothing wrong with it. They may say I grew up in that environment, but they're not going to say there was nothing wrong with it. You've already had people. Reggie Bush has come out and supported him, said, hey, I will, what was the word? I want to say severe, harshly punish my child who's 1 year old right now, and seem to fully endorse what Adrian Peterson did. I'm not down with that, but that's me. All right, 641-1010 if you want to get in. Laws are different, obviously, in every state. We'll talk with our buddy, Attorney Earl Johnson, coming up about this issue. Yeah, what's that?
You mentioned Gloria Allred. The Gloria, just on Twitter, the Gloria Allred of Jacksonville, Angela Corey, she's currently in court today, too.
Oh, is she?
Yes, buffoon alert.
All right. There you go. Ryan O'Halloran. I know nothing of that subject, so... I'll go with you on that one.
Well, she has a long-standing feud with the Times Union, so, you know. So.
All right, well, that's good. The claws are out for O'Halloran this morning.
Right.
We'll welcome Earl Johnson into the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Coming up, we'll give away a pair of tickets to the home opener plus two passes to the Bud Light pregame party on top of that. It is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, Madonna's got a secret. Does she really anymore? We've all seen it. We've seen everything that Madonna holds dear in her life. I've got a secret who I'm going to interview for the pregame show. I will say this. We've already had a correct guess or two, and I will be awarding the winner of tickets to the Jags home opener, plus two tickets to the Bud Light pregame party coming up here in about 20 minutes or so. Let's welcome in my buddy Earl Johnson. I haven't seen you in a while.
Mike, good to see you.
How are you? You're in the Garber Auto Mall hot seat. How's it feel over there? Is it sizzling?
It feels great. I got to say, not to diminish the studios over at 1010, it's pretty swanky over here.
You're just taken in by the whole atmosphere. This studio's not any nicer than what's happening over at Hogan Road, but we do have that big bay window behind you before. They wanted to keep an eye on us.
Absolutely.
They didn't
really
like it. They had us in here in a little closed office, kind of like a closet-like atmosphere, and they didn't trust me. And I don't blame them, frankly, Earl. You know, we talk a lot of sports law issues with you, and clearly the NFL has had way too much crossover for their taste into the realm of the court system over the last few weeks.
What a week. What a week. And we're seeing really a convergence of policy shifts, which are broad in the NFL, and to try to get a little more in line with societal norms about things like drugs. Their drug policy has changed in this week. And, of course, domestic violence with the cases of bringing Ray back and then having him suspended for the team, and now AP being exempted, and then four or so other players following him. There's a real shift change. And you asked the question, is the NFL going to have to open up a new department on this? They have done that this week, in fact. The NFL hired four what I would call kick-ass women, former prosecutors in New York, mostly attorneys, to formulate their policy on domestic violence. And they're going to formulate it, and they're going to be administering it. Now, you may look at that with a jaundiced eye. Is that window dressing?
There's certainly some PR aspect too. We've got these women coming in now to give the female point of view on this issue.
But you got to figure these professionals, from their perspective, think they've got a legitimate job to do.
And, I would. Absolutely.
And I suspect there is going to be a tide change in the NFL as it relates to how they deal with domestic violence. And, interestingly, we were talking about, the change in policy with regard to the PEDs, now the testing for human growth hormone, sort of declassifying marijuana use. There's a change here happening in the NFL. They've been sort of blind, frankly, to what's going on. From a societal standpoint,
yeah, the blotter just kind of willfully. If it's not a problem for us, if we're making money, right? I mean, hasn't it been the case that I'm sure they're aware of what's going on within their ranks, but if no one's forcing us to deal with it and the money keeps pouring in, we're not going to deal with it. Seems to be the way they've gone about business.
When fans learned the last 2 weeks that you can get a year suspension for smoking a joint and a game or two for punching out your wife, they had to take action, and they had to do something to hold on to sponsorships. Frankly, you've seen what's happened this week.
If you are, a lot has been brought up about due process. I saw one of Adrian Peterson's teammates talk about this. You know, the whole innocent until proven guilty. Now, for him to do what he's done, which is go on the commissioner's exempt list, the players have to agree to that because players are no longer allowed to be. Teams cannot just send them home like the Bucks did with Keyshawn Johnson years back.
That's right.
They're not allowed to do that anymore. So he had to sign off on that. But in a typical workplace, let's say in the state of Florida, okay. Yeah. If a guy is accused of something, but the court process has not played out yet,
sure.
Can his employer take real-world consequences against him just based on an accusation?
Happens every day in real-life examples of employees who are police officers, for example, or teachers, for example, who've been accused of some kind of crime, which is a serious crime, felonies, which could certainly relate, end up in some kind of incarceration, they're placed on administrative leave. That may be paid or not, depending upon what their contract says, whether it's a CBA or any other kind of contract or employee benefits. And so that's what's happened here. Now, you're right. The way I read this exempt status, it provides broad latitude for the team to do what it wants with the player. The player has a place on the roster. The player's paid. AP's situation, I believe he doesn't have any contact with the team. I think Hardy may still have some contact with his team. So I think the player and the management get to sort of hammer out, the details in terms of the exempt status. But that seems to be, and what you're witnessing is a huge multi-billion-dollar industry corporation trying to find its way and not fall over itself over these last 2-3 days, and sort of making it up as it goes along. But the exempt status seems to be the standard now.
Ryan, I saw yesterday there are whispers that NFL teams are a little upset with the way that this exempt status is being used, that this was supposed to be a device for a player coming off a suspension. right, who has not assimilated back into the team yet. Maybe he hasn't been working out, and this was a way to kind of give you an extra roster spot. Do you think we'll see any grumblings like that, or is the issue too big and that kind of stuff's going to ultimately get ignored?
Well, I think a team that wants to go public with their disagreement on this would only look terrible, because I think from the Vikings' perspective, they probably screwed up on Monday saying Adrian's going to play. Okay, so they circled back. And I think you use the great phrase, is they making up as they go, which I don't really – is that okay? Because this is unprecedented stuff, so right. It's sort of – I mean, from the league's perspective, I applaud the hiring of – and my question is going to be, they hired these former prosecutors. If you were them, would you throw out the domestic violence stuff that the commissioner announced a month ago and just say, hey, commissioner, if you're hiring us, we're starting over, we're writing the policy, we're writing the penalties?
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly the way they should approach it, and mm-hmm. That's the way I expect they are going to approach it. They're going to start, bottom up, I expect, and set out a whole new protocol and regulations and policy as it relates to domestic violence in the NFL. And I think that likely had to be part of the deal mm-hmm. to bring these women in. As I said, you know, former prosecutors in New York, great reputations. And I expect they're going to require full reign over that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, what happens if Ray Rice, the exact same thing happened in a hotel in Orlando? What happens in the state of Florida to Ray Rice if we've got the same evidence?
Well, as it relates to the Fourth Circuit here, the state attorney's office does not rely on a pretrial intervention as it relates to domestic violence. And so especially a case where it would be a felony domestic, this would have been an aggravated battery. The aggravation is her injury. It would be easy to have a doctor testify that she was obviously concussed as a result of the punching and then, of course, hitting her head on the railing in the elevator. So he would be facing a felony. And in Florida, sentencing is based upon a point system. Depending upon any prior record he may have, those points are added up. And at a certain level, 44, then you may be facing some prison time. And so that's what may have happened in this case. Now, were he placed on a probation, which is often available, he would be convicted. There would be an adjudication. He may be placed. He could have been placed on a probation, which would include a variety of rehabilitative classes related to violence and such. But that's what happens here. But every day, people go to prison for what Ray Rice did in Florida.
Corporal punishment. We've heard a lot that it's legal in Texas. What that is defined as, I'm not clear on. What about here in the state of Florida? What are you allowed to do in terms of corporal punishment with your child?
Well, and there's been a lot of talk, of course, about that with Hardy and AP. And what I've seen recently is really a bright line here. And what it is, corporal punishment is allowed. Injury to the child is not. So to the extent corporal punishment, spanking the child, results in welt, bruising, laceration, that would fall under some sort of child abuse statute.
What would happen to a first-time offender?
Well,
something. Let's say you had. What would you expect if you're defending somebody who had similar evidence, those photos that Adrian Peterson's child allegedly looked like a week after the fact?
There, the injury was laceration and bruising to the child, and of course, the level of injury is what determines really the outcome in terms of sentencing. If he had no prior record, and the mother and the state through Children and Families, they would certainly have done their own investigation independently, independent to the criminal action, were in favor of reunification, he might receive a probation sentence. However, I have seen that kind of injury result in incarceration.
It's not a good week or two, as you said, for the National Football League and for those guys in particular.
Contract question on money-wise. These two players voluntarily joined the exempt list. If Peterson is indicted, Hardy loses his appeal, What's the process for the team to maybe get some of that signing bonus money back? And is that tough to do?
That's a great question, and it probably turns on each individual contract.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I really wouldn't be able to, I don't think, give me a specific answer on that, but I think it would probably turn on each player's contract.
Morals clause kind of thing?
Could be a morals clause. Could be an inability to complete the obligations in the contract provision as well. But it's conceivable
mm-hmm.
that these organizations could be in a position to seek some sort of refund.
Attorney Earl Johnson in the Garbrough Automall hot seat. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
356-5252, by the way, for the law offices of Attorney Earl Johnson on University Boulevard. Always appreciate it, man. Sorry it's these kind of circumstances that get the call to bring you in.
We got to ask him a football question.
All right.
Who
should be the quarterback for the Jaguars?
Play the kid.
All right,
yes!
There you go.
Like this guy.
Yeah, he knew he liked it. Earl, good to see you, buddy. In the Garbrough Automall hot seat with Earl Johnson. All right, coming back, we'll give away tickets, including Bud Light party passes, coming up here in just a second. It's Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, week three of the NFL season kicking off tonight. Week three of your fantasy season. Atlanta and Tampa, do you play Doug Martin? Well, if he's on your roster, you might have a bunch of injuries. You might be forced to. With FanDuel, you don't have to if you don't want to. It's weekly fantasy football. Joe Watson from New York turned a $50 deposit into over $30,000 in just 2 weeks playing fantasy football on FanDuel last season. You can join him and literally hundreds of thousands of other users who've already won money. It's weekly fantasy football for real cash with immediate cash payouts, no season-long commitments, and no upfront fees. Just go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, enter my name, Mike, and when you do, they'll match your initial deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. The money is real. Entry fees start at just $1. You can win this weekend. Can you do that in your local league? I doubt it. So don't let injuries cripple your fantasy season. Do what I do. Weekly fantasy football, the place to do it, FanDuel.com. Again, that's FANDUEL, FanDuel.com.
Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Sharks, and Jacksonville University. True Teal. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's what we're talking about.
Talking Jaguars football is what we do. 1010XL. 92.5 FM.
Hi, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you coming down the home stretch of Jaguars Today. A couple of things. We've got a winner for a couple of different contests we've got going on. We had the Foundation Professionals of Florida photo contest going on for last several months, really. Had a different theme every couple of weeks, asking you to post photos on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, and the weekly winners, and sometimes there are multiple weekly winners, all went into a random drawing. Casey DeHart was selected as the winner. I reached out to Casey. He's got to get back with me, hopefully by later on this afternoon, and he wants a pair of tickets courtesy of Foundation Professionals of Florida to the home opener to go see the Jags and the Colts play. Foundation Professionals of Florida, taking care of your most important investment, your home. And if you've got issues, you've got to know the symptoms first. Exterior and interior wall cracks, windows and doors sticking, foundation cracks, sloping floors. All of those could be indicators of a much more serious problem with your foundation. Call 287-2690. Visit foundationprosfl.com. Today, we asked you, the Tom Bush Family Dealership's Fan Feedback Spotlight, simply a guess, and I think an educated guess would help as to who I will interview for the pregame show this coming up weekend. We got basically the whole roster was guessed at some point,
did.
Don't you think? If you follow, we've been alternating offense, defense. You mm-hmm. might not have picked up on that because we've only been doing it for a few weeks, but we're going defense this week. Not too many guys really standing out on either side of the football last week
nope.
or for the last couple weeks, but Ryan Davis is the guy we're going with. Had a sack in each of the first couple of games, and you know, a guy that didn't come in with a lot of fanfare out of Bethune-Cookman and has earned himself a role in this rotation. How do you think he's played so far this year. Obviously, the sacks stick out.
Yeah, I mean, he's carved out a great role in terms of he's not going to play a lot of early down stuff. And on third down, he is a defensive tackle, lines up inside and can use that speed to get the quarterback. I mean, on the sack that he had, he lined up outside of the tackle, the offensive tackle. So they went these wide, they went with a wide formation, swooped in. And, you know, once he gets ahead of steam going, he can, you know, create some pressure. But, you know, the key is they got to, you know, the more he plays, that means the more third downs they're in. They got to get into those first.
That's a good point. What was the stat, Tony? And it got worse. I don't know what the final tally was. 38 plays for Washington in Jaguar territory versus zero for the Jags. And I think at that time it was close to like 38 plays in Jaguar territory compared to 37 overall plays for the Jaguar offense.
Yeah,
well.
It was that may have been the exact numbers, but yeah, they showed that at one point in that game.
And then Cousins already had the ball in Jaguar territory, and they were running more snaps, yeah. So that number went north of 40, I think.
Yep.
When it was all said and done, 40 plays in your opponent's territory is
a lot.
Absurd.
Yeah, I mean, in the number of plays that the Jaguars defense has been on the field this year. You know, 80-something and 70-something, you know, just, you know, they think 65 should be the average. Well, they're way above that.
What do you think about this week? I mean, Indy comes in not showing a whole lot defensively, playing some pretty good offenses, granted, not showing anything in the pass rush department. Robert Mathis now would have been suspended anyway, mm-hmm. out for the year, so that's a big blow to them. They look like a pretty average team with a pretty good quarterback that, their defense has, in the first half against Denver, kind of collapsed, and then Denver coasted to victory. In the second half, they kind of collapsed against Philadelphia, and Andrew Luck couldn't pull them out of the fire on either instance. In fact, it was his interception that really set things up. They're up 7 at the 22-yard line with a little over 5 minutes left, and that pick kept it a one-score game. Philly's able to go down and tie it, got a 3-and-out, and win it on a last-second field goal. Let's start with the Jags offense versus this defense. I like to use the phrase the movable object versus the resistible force. Who has the edge, if anyone?
Well, I mean, I guess I'll give it to the Colts defense just because of the state of the Jaguar offense.
Right, a historically bad performance last week in particular.
I mean, like you said, the Colts haven't been able to rush the passer. One of their inside linebackers, it's not DeQuell Jackson. He's a new guy. One of their linebackers is banged up. They're suspect in the secondary. Laurent Landry has been taking bad angles and missing tackles since he came in the league in 07. They couldn't cover Julius Thomas, but they lose Arthur Jones, their defensive tackle. They signed from Baltimore. That's a big loss. He's out with an ankle. So they're banged up and they're struggling. Jags offense is banged up and struggling. So something's going to have to give. If I'm the Jags, I challenge. I don't even really try and run it. Let's see if you can.
They certainly didn't last week. They only ran it 7 times.
Yeah, 10 times. Garrett
minus the scrambles by Henny. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, 10 times.
All right. Well, whatever. I mean, they ran it 7 times.
Well, they started chasing the game. And you see, so I would just throw a lot of quick stuff. I would not throw Marquise Lee if he even plays. A bubble screen to Marquise Lee does not work. Get him downfield a little bit. Even if you need, you know, 7-man protections. That's what they had on that bomb to Hearns. To get some momentum, get the crowd in the game. Because I think that is a big deal for that for this game on Sunday. Is get some momentum early so the fans can rally around the defense. The defense can get a lead, 7-0, whatever. Or else because the boos are going to come quick.
Marcel Jensen likely to start at tight end this week.
I think they'll start Shuler if it's a one tight end. They play a lot of two tight ends, so both of them will be out there. I think this would have been a great chance for Mercedes Lewis to have a big game. Obviously, that's not happened. And one of these young guys in the skill spots, plus Garrett, one of these guys has to say, okay, I have to rise up, make some plays.
So much can be put on one play, but were you surprised? I mean, that they open up. I'm not saying it changes the final outcome of the game, but it certainly changes the first half the way it's played. If Hearns hangs on to that football, that deep pass from Henny. Surprise! I mean, is this more? Look, you're not going to get two touchdowns every week. We know that he's an undrafted rookie. What was your reaction to that? I guess
the play call.
No. I thought the play call was great because the play call seemed to work.
Yeah. I think they're going to go after D'Angelo Hall, who has a tendency to jump routes. as somebody at Billion told me, if he makes that catch, it turns 41-10 into maybe 34-17. Because they felt that if Griffin had stayed in the game, the game would have been significantly closer, because they felt they would have been able to force in some turnovers.
Okay. So they were probably not happy.
They were
to
not.
See him go out.
Yeah. Because Cousins sliced them and diced them.
He certainly did. And, you know, from the defensive standpoint now, Andrew Luck, I think, is considerably better than Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm. Got to be wary of his scrambling. You converted a 2nd and 10 the other night.
Logman said go totally vanilla. That's what he would do. Go vanilla. Well, don't blitz him and don't give him an opportunity to make big plays. Make him, you know, make Luck kind of go drive it down the field, 10, 12 play drives. Keep everything in front of you if you possibly can. My feeling is if you're not scoring any points, the only way this team scored points this year basically is to create turnovers on the opponent's side of the field. Do you go after him?
I would early, just to see how that O-line reacts. They have a rookie left guard. They have a fill-in center.
Is Holmes back this week, Khalid Holmes?
I'm not sure.
I think he practiced some yesterday.
So, you know, he's either coming back from an injury, so is he 100%? So it just seems like I would test the O-line. You know, in the first drive of the game, if you blitz 5 or 6 and you get picked apart, okay, go back to the vanilla stuff. I mean, you can't get any more vanilla than this pass rush has been the first 2 weeks.
Right. Well, first half of the first game was good.
It was 4 guys.
Right, you but know, so they got the job done.
Teams are going to adjust.
Didn't they blitz, though, on 2 of those 3 sacks this past week?
They backed Clemens off and blitzed Guy, so I think it was a 5-man pressure.
Okay.
I want to see some 6-man. I mean, something where he has to get the ball out of his hands quick just to try something. I mean, that's just give us people who are watching the idea that you're thinking out loud.
What's the line on this game? Is it 7?
6.5.
6.5, 7? Is it? I mean, I got to believe people are looking at that game, and I understand the Colts are 0-2, but the public perception is they're going to come in here and blast Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to see scores when people start predicting scores tomorrow. You're going to see 31-10.
What do you think? I mean, whether you give us a predicting an exact score,
I think the Colts are going to win. I think the Jags are going to play better just if they have any pride. They'll play better. I think the Colts are going to win 30-17.
Sounds about right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll come up with final scores as far as that goes.
Holmes practiced full yesterday.
He did, Khalid Holmes of the Colts. How much heat should justifiably, how much questioning, you know, fans like to react and overreact sometimes. And sometimes they're out ahead of the story, and sometimes they're right to overreact. Getting serious questioning for the first time of Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley. Way over the top? Reasonable? Understandable? How do you characterize
where I would challenge the head coach, and we have, is some of his game management so far. I think that's legitimate.
That timeout at the end of the first half this week had to be a reaction to last week, didn't it?
I mean, if the other team is going to sort of let the clock run out, let them.
Right. I think they were afraid. I mean, at the time, it seemed like they were afraid because there was a little bit of chaos. If they were able to get the snap off, they're going to get caught out of position, might give up an easy one. As it turned out, they didn't give up any points. But that seemed to me like Gus is thinking in his head, oh, my, we've seen the scenario with Sproles, we didn't get the timeout called. I'm going to err on the side of caution, which ended up giving them an extra play.
Yeah, I mean, as far as a referendum on the team building, I'm still a long way from that because the quarterback hasn't played yet.
Right.
As far as the operation during the game, it just guys, you know, why aren't guys lining up in the right spot? You know, you watch the coach's tape, you see guys' hands on hips, not even 3-point stance at the snap. Shouldn't be happening in the NFL. So, I mean, maybe they're tightening the screws this week. Because I think they need to.
Yeah, what is that attributable? It's not like we don't see Jerry Sullivan in the ear of these young receivers after every snap in the portion of practice that we've been allowed to watch all throughout the summer.
I don't know what to attribute it to. Because they're obviously, I mean, I'm a coach's writer, so I'm going to side with the coaches. So it's the player's fault. But maybe these guys, I mean, I thought Chad Henne said something very telling yesterday when I was asked about the newcomers. He says, maybe we got to start meeting extra. To me, that was maybe we got to start showing up a little early.
Okay.
That was my take on it.
That's interesting. Reading between the lines with Ryan O'Halloran. You're going to be in on Monday, right?
Sure.
That'll be fun.
Yes. Recap the game.
Recap the first victory of the season, Ryan, for goodness sakes. Everyone could throw it in your face. 30-17.
Blake Bortles, three touchdowns in the second half.
In the second half. He called it. Now, he didn't call it. He said if he had to pick, he'd say no. But be on alert for the second half appearance of number five, according to Ryan O'Halloran. On Twitter, at Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union and a weekly co-host here on Jaguars Today, man. Good to see you.
All right. See you Monday.
All right.
All right, fellas.
We'll see you before
the game.
Then, but we will see you Monday to review. All right. That does it for us.